Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
To the land of the free and the home of the brave, and to all the soldiers who have served this great country in the past, Latitude Media just wants to show a great sense of sincereness, and a token of appreciation to all the soldiers who have served in the past is the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, something small that we can do, and it's sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Austin Shattuck and Jeremy Wood back with you to give Season 2, Episode 11. Wow, Jeremy, 11 episodes now throughout this sports show.
Yeah, 11 weeks in, and just having a blast doing this.
I know. It's certainly been great. We've had so many different guests on, from Coach McIntyre, from our first inaugural episode, Louis Vito, of course, in there. And then, of course, we're rambling through a bunch of these Isabella County coaches throughout our last 5 or 6 weeks or so. And now we're getting ready to start districts coming up this Friday. Jeremy, where will we be this Friday?
We're heading over to Beale City. We're going to cover Beale City, and then we'll have Mount Pleasant, Sacred Heart, and then the winner of those two games we'll have for the finals.
Yeah, I believe it's Beale City versus, well, it's Beale City, Sacred Heart, Montebello, and Vestaburg, all in the same district. Quote me yet on who's playing, because I don't know it off the top of my head. Do you happen to know?
I want to remember, if I remember right, it's Beale City and Vestaburg, and then Sacred Heart and
Montebello.
Or it could be, it's backwards. Anywho, how
it's those four teams.
Yeah, we're going to see Beale City and probably Sacred Heart in the finals, most likely, because they're both of those teams are ranked in the top five, I do believe, in District 4. So, or Division 4, not District 4. Division 4. Both teams are ranked in the top five, so it's a bummer that they got to play each other this early on, but it seems like, yeah, I heard, I'm new to the Isabella County area, and I heard that this happens every year.
Yeah, and they certainly have earned it. Like you said, Jeremy, they've had great seasons. Coach Antivlik and Coach Wheaton have really propelled their, Coach Antivlik is in her first year coaching for the Beale City Aggies, and Coach Wheaton, his daughter is on the team as well. So it's a great team, two great teams that'll, like you said, Jeremy, probably end up meeting each other for the 6 o'clock first pitch on Friday night from Beale City High School. But that's just one district. We got eight other districts to go around. Now let's start with the top, Division One, Mount Pleasant Baseball and Softball. Mount Pleasant Baseball is hosting a district round, so kudos to Coach McIntyre there for hosting a district round. They're in that round with Midland Dow, Bay City Western, and Heritage. Mount Pleasant will start tomorrow night, pre-district against Midland Dow.
Another great baseball team.
I know. You're talking Mount Pleasant baseball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. Coach Apple, I mean, we had Coach McIntyre on earlier. We were talking about spring sports. I mean, nothing gets past Coach Apple.
No.
He's a legendary coach in this area, kind of like Coach Ancliffe for Beale City. He just knows what he's doing, and that Apple family is very good.
That's what Coach McIntyre said when we were interviewing him. He said, if you needed to know anything about Mount Pleasant baseball, go to the Apple family.
Yeah, and certainly has. I mean, I've gotten everything I need to know from Mount Pleasant baseball from Coach Apple and his son.
So, yeah.
Because his son coaches JV baseball, and, you know, they're the Apples. So
yeah, well, freshman Coach Luke, he coaches the freshman team. And then I think his uncle coaches the JV team, and then his dad coaches the varsity team.
Wow, yeah.
So it's an Apple, anything Mount Pleasant baseball, if you need to know it, go ask the Apple family. They'll be able to help you out with that.
And they certainly do. 3-1 in the last week with a couple of good wins over the loss to Grand Blanc, and then they won their Saturday tournament just a couple of days ago. Mount Pleasant softball, 1-1 last week, and Midland High is hosting their district starting this Saturday. Mount Pleasant, Midland High, Midland Dow, and Bay City Western. So Heritage is not in that district on the softball side. They are moving somewhere else. Sacred Heart Baseball, they are playing, like we mentioned, with Beale City and Coleman and Marion. Coleman is the host for that round. Sacred Heart Softball, like we mentioned, Beale City is the host. Vesterberg and Montebello, Beale Baseball and Softball, I just mentioned, with Sacred Heart. And then moving to D2, Claire Baseball has to travel up to Cadillac to play Cadillac, Big Rapids, Chippewa Hills, and Ludington. That's going to be a tough district for Coach Gold and the baseball team to get out of. But knowing Claire, they can probably do it. Claire Softball, they have to travel to Gladwin, and they are in a district round with Ogemaw Heights and Cadillac as well. And then Shepherd Baseball, they also have a pre-district round tomorrow evening. I believe it's against Ogemaw Heights. But Ogemaw Heights, Shepherd, Gladwin, Bullet Creek, and Standish are all coming to Shepherd High School this Friday and Saturday. And then Shepherd Softball, they have to go up to Big Rapids to play in a district round with Elma. Big Rapids, of course, Chip Hills, and Bullet Creek. So these districts are loaded, Jeremy, with a lot of different talent. And it was hard to pick and choose, but we're going to Beale City this Friday night for what should be three great games.
Yeah, start the first game's at 2, second game's at 4, and then the finals is at 6. So 2, 4, and 6 on Friday over there in Beale City.
Yeah, and we'll be on the radio all day long from 2 until probably 8 o'clock. Actually, 1:45.
Yeah, I've never been to Beale City, so it'll be my first trip over there.
Great community. I've only been there a couple times for basketball and football, but they love their football, they love their basketball, and I'm sure the same thing with softball. They love their sports because that's all they got down there is their sports.
Yeah.
Small community. So kind of just like Vesterberg, kind of like, you know, your area down there too.
Yeah, St. Louis and Ithaca and all them areas all love their sports. So it's going to be looks like the weather's going to be changing a little bit. So hopefully we got some good weather on Friday and get to see some good softball.
Certainly will, and then we'll come up with who we will move on to next round or next week with as soon as the districts complete.
Yeah.
I believe the last game would be sometime Saturday night for baseball and softball. So we'll know more. Stay with our socials on Facebook and on Instagram and our website, of course, as well.
Monday we'll figure it out. Next Monday we'll figure out when where we'll be at next.
Yeah, and I believe after the weekend they start kind of fluctuating games a little, condensing them a little bit throughout the week. Like districts, the next round after districts, they start on June 3rd, or maybe it's even June 2nd for baseball and softball, which is next week in the middle of the week. So we'll have some midweek games for you next week.
I haven't looked ahead yet, so we'll see. Come Monday, everything will be out, and we'll let everyone know where Austin and I will be next.
And we'll let you know I assume next Monday as well with the Detroit Tigers, because they have not been very good. 3-16, Jeremy, since Tarek Skubal hit the injured list, and that was May 5th.
Well, and he wasn't the only one that hit the injury list. There was a handful. I think at one point there was like 15 different players on the DL.
Yeah, it's like a grocery list right now, and I could read off every single injured player. I've got at least 9 that I can read off right now, starting with Tarek Skubal, Reese Olson, who we know is going to be out for the whole year, Jackson Jobe, Tommy John surgery. He's on his way back, but probably not till end of July, middle of July. Parker Meadows, probably the same thing with Jackson Jobe. Gleyber Torres, he's coming back soon, I would imagine. Justin Verlander, who knows with him, aging 43-year-old pitcher that is kind of on a home tour for the Tigers. One start in Arizona, and we haven't seen him since that start. He's just been throwing bullpens constantly. And he's been getting jacked up in the bullpens, too, by the way.
Yeah.
He had a bullpen the other day, and it was maybe a simulated game, actually. He faced 3 batters, Wenzel Perez once and Jamai Jones twice, and he gave up 2 home runs out of Comerica Park. So I don't think he's ready to come back. It's an aging hip injury. At that age, being a pitcher, you're going to get those injuries, and I think this is his last year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll. I think this will be it. I think that was the main purpose of coming back, signing a 1-year deal, because he knew his time's almost over, and it'll be just exciting to see him get back out there a couple more times before he does retire.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be probably, we're almost closing out month of May, maybe middle of June, we could see him come back. Two more injuries they got to run through. Sawyer Gibson Long, who's another pitcher that came up last year through the system. He's kind of a AAA pitcher, but he's still injured. And, of course, Javier Baez, everybody's favorite player, who swings at everything.
Is Will Vest still on the DL?
Nope, he's back. He came back a couple of weeks ago. He actually had a rehab assignment in Great Lakes.
He was with the West Michigan Whitecaps. Yep. He was throwing some bullpen there. I seen posted on social media. He was, you know, throwing some bullpen and just out there pitching on the mound during a pregame warm-up, you know. Yeah, so
it was early.
Yeah, so it's the Tigers, yes, they have injuries, but from what this is my perspective I've seen is the backup players that we got playing aren't definitely not as good as our starters.
Well, I mean, I get that point. We're playing the Detroit Mudheads baseball style of baseball right now. I mean, you think about who our starting infield is, minus Kevin McGonigal, who is a stud.
Yeah.
You have how you even in this lineup is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And then you got Zach Short on there, who's been bumped from AAA to Major League, he's been DFA'd a bunch of times, designated for assignment.
Yeah.
He's been on the trading block so many times, and he's pretty much our starting shortstop right now. And then Torkelson and Keith kind of sub out that first base position. Every other couple of days, Keith will get a jab in at first base, but Torque is your everyday first baseman.
And he's not swinging the bat very well right now either.
He never has been, really.
No. He did get on a home run streak. He had, what, 4 or 5 games there back earlier in the month that he had, like, he finally got his first home run.
Yeah.
And then he had, like, 4 games after that he hit another home run every game. But then after that, he's, like, back down. Back to not hitting the ball. And it seems like, you know, that's pretty much the whole team right now is not hitting the ball. So I don't know what to do. I as the GM and the head coach, you know, the manager, what do you do?
You're put in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And you just have to play with what you got. I mean, all these fans, you want to see Max Clark, you want to see Max Anderson, these top prospects get called up. But it's a lot. There's a lot more logistics than just saying, hey, move him up from Toledo to Detroit. You got to buy his contract. You got to designate somebody else for assignment. And there's just too many logistics. And B, they're not ready.
Yeah.
Clark is still developing at AAA right now. He was just at West Michigan a year ago, which is high A. He barely played in double A. And now AAA, he's gotten, what, a third of the season in? So he's not ready to be up to the Major League Baseball level like Kevin McGonigal is. But to round out the position
McGonigal's
players...
McGonigal's not really hitting very well right now either. So
he was the start.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get back with him in a little bit. But to round out those position players, Dingler and Rogers are still the catcher. We love Dingler. And then in the outfield...
That's my wife's favorite player on the team.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about him, too. From left to right, not in any order. It's Wenzel Perez, Riley Green, and Matt Vierling as your everyday outfielders right now. You don't have Parker Meadows. So what I'm trying to say is where you started from opening day down in San Diego to where we are now playing Los Angeles Angels tomorrow, the lineup has completely shifted.
Yeah.
Mainly pitching, but the middle infield with Baez and Torres, gone.
Yeah.
Parker Meadows, gone. Like, Cary Carpenter, gone. Like, these injuries keep piling up, and it's bad, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's not good right now for us Tigers fans.
No.
It's painful to watch, but of course I still watch just because
our team.
I'm a Tigers fan, so I still watch, but it's painful and it's like frustrating to watch because it's like, you know, you're still getting paid to play baseball and you're not doing it very well.
No, they're just making a fool out of everybody.
Yeah.
Like the other team that the Tigers are playing are just making a fool. Like they just got swept by the Cleveland Guardians in 4 games at home. And it was so ridiculous that there was a tarps off section in the top row of Comerica Park.
Yeah.
People were flinging their shirts around, shirtless, big, hairy guys were flinging their shirts around. And Johnny Cain has to go up there and says, hey, let's interview these shirtless dudes on live TV.
Well, they just lost to the Boston Red Sox, who had a worse record coming into that series than the Tigers had, and they almost got swept by the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. It's just bad baseball right now. Jason Benetti, I feel for him because they are searching. Baseball is a slow sport to begin with, but they are searching for topics to talk about for the 3-hour game.
I love him and Andy Dirks together.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I do too. They're so fun. That broadcasting booth up there is probably the best in baseball.
Yeah.
There might be some better ones, but they are top
entertaining. Five. Entertaining. The entertainment value is there because they have to do something because. Obviously, you're not getting the entertainment on the field,
no.
So they got to have to do something to be entertaining, and Dirks, and they do a great job up there in the booth.
Well, the offense is abysmal. I mean, they're a singles team. Colt Keith, who Scott Harris and Chris Illich locked up for, was the first guy that they locked up probably a couple years ago, 8 years, 150 mil or something like that. He has one double in his last, like, 34 or 35 games.
Yeah.
He's not an extra base hit machine. He barely hit chops at the ball. He gets singles, line drive singles. Colt Keith, that is.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly our longtime player. I like the McGonagall extension. But a stat to throw out to you, Jeremy, right here, found online. Record through Memorial Day in the last five seasons. 2026, 21-33. Last year, 35-20. 2024, 26-27. 2023, 25-27. And then 2022... my senior year of high school, 18-29. So I feel like this 26 team is just like the 22 team.
Well, so it just shows that they haven't been like blowing people out. They haven't been winning a lot of games early on in the season. And which you just showed from 22 to 26, so over the last 4 years, I bet you can even go back farther and see that the Tigers have never played good in April or May.
Because the cold weather.
Cold weather.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, come June, hopefully everyone will be back and we can start seeing some Tiger baseball again because April and May have always been a struggle, I feel, for the Tigers being, you know, not a cold weather team because most of the people on the team are not from cold weather. So
from the DR or Florida.
Yeah. You know, so, or Arizona or so, you know, so they're used to playing baseball when it's, you know, 70 degrees, not 40.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough to play baseball when it's 40 degrees.
It is.
I remember I went to the second game ever at Comerica Park, opening pitch, 32 degrees against the Seattle Mariners back in 2000. I stayed 7 innings. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and they lost, of course, because back in 2000, they were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, people were just, you know, the ushers and, you know, everyone at Comerica Park was just happy for people to show up. They didn't care where you sat. You just,
go up to the first row.
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, you could sit anywhere. I mean, you show up, you go sit in your seat and you look down and there's like a whole empty section in front of you. You could just walk down there. They didn't care. Because they were just happy people were showing up and watching.
Yeah, got to make money somehow.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, back in the 2000s, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, the Tigers were terrible.
Yeah, and that's the stretch we're in right now. I mean, it's not terrible baseball, but when the offense only scores 2 or 3 runs a game, and when they do win, they only win by like 1 or 2 runs, it's not...
It was a stretch yesterday, winning 4-1.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and I told you off air, Jeremy, it took the Tigers to play 18 innings of baseball, a doubleheader, for the Tigers to finally win one game.
Yeah. So, well, this is their first win since what, May 15th, I said?
Yeah.
And so it's just, I don't know. It's, I still love the Tigers. I love anything Michigan sports, you know, any college, any pro, you know, high school, anything Michigan sports, I love. But man, it's tough to watch right now.
Yeah, and this is the one team in Detroit where we don't know what the roster is going to look like, really, because Tarik Skubal, our best player, he could be shipped off to Los Angeles or New York sometime during the All-Star break.
Can we trade him for, like, 5 hitters?
It'd be nice, but his trade value just devalued a lot because he hasn't been pitching since May 4th. But to go off that point, I mean, Pistons, we know Cade Cunningham. We know Jalen Duren. Our core is going to be back next year. Lions, we know Penei Sewell. We know Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs. We know they're going to be back. We don't know if
St. Brown's going to be back. So yeah.
We don't know if Scooble's going to be back. We don't know if Torque or Riley Green or Carpenter are going to be back next year.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's tough to watch right now. I know that.
We do know Javi Baez will be back next year for his last year of his 6 or 8 year contract or whatever it was that they signed back in COVID years.
Yeah.
And we know Framber Valdez will be back. And we know McGonagall and Colt Keith will be back.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
We'll have to make some major upgrades to the Detroit Tigers this, and we're not even till the All-Star break yet. But somebody who won't need to make upgrades, that's Coach Kelly for Clare Softball. He joins us next, coming up on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Respect. To live with respect is to give mutual considerations for shared and differing ideas, as well as for the world around us. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
You're back with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Austin Shattuck and Jeremy Wood back with you on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. This week, we have another special guest joining us. The last week before softball and baseball playoffs start up here in the MHSA area and in the Isabella County area as well. So we had to bring in fifth-year head coach for Clare Softball, Coach Shane Kelly. Coach Kelly, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Doing wonderful.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on with one more regular season week left in the regular season and before playoffs start back up. But before we dive into the 2026 season, I wanted to kind of get a background check on you personally. You started out your coaching career with Clare at 26-10, just getting consistently better as the season's kind of progressed on and on. Why have you been able to turn Clare softball into a dominant Division III program?
You know, a lot of it has to do with the community support. The Little League program in Clare is second to none. The support from community members, business owners, just the buy-in from the kids, holding them accountable. The culture that we have, that the team matters most, do what it takes to be the best that we can be, and pushing, not just being average, excelling at doing things the right way. And the girls have bought into it. It was a special group of girls that graduated last year that started with me my first year, and it just carried on to the young girls that we have now, and the community and the junior program that we have is just, it's a family here in Clare. It's a lot of fun. And when you're having fun, it's not work. It's not practice. It's not anything other than and do what you're supposed to do. And that's what we do. And that's what our mindset is. And it's the buy-in from the parents and the kids and the community, which makes it special.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, when you're having fun, the wins start to pile up, and the wins for you, especially these last two seasons, have really piled up. I mean, the 2023-2024 season, 36-6, last season, 39-3, all the way to the finals down in East Lansing. What has gone into your playoff success, especially, like I mentioned, these last two seasons?
Doing things the right way, no shortcuts, buying in. The girls, as much as I hold them accountable, they hold each other accountable. I was told before I took softball that senioritis is a thing. It's going to be tough to keep the seniors motivated and wanting to do things, and I didn't think it was going to be an issue. In my first couple of years, I could sort of see that you know, once the seniors are out of school, getting them to show up and wanting them to be there and keeping them involved was a bit of a challenge. And as the years progressed, and 2 years ago and then into last year, the seniors would be there 45 minutes before we were there, setting things up, wanting to do drills. I mean, there was a goal that they all had, that they wanted to be the best, and they were going to do whatever it took. And I see that in our seniors this year, and I could see it in the juniors that are going to be seniors next year. It's just being passed down from group to group and buying in, and they see the success and the fruits of our labors, and they see that what we do is steadfast and true and it works. And that's a huge thing. You know, it's one thing to get somebody to buy in if everything's great and easy and rosy. It's another thing when you have to work hard and you have to be committed to something bigger than yourself. And that's what we have at Clear. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that kind of segues into my next question. I mean, after last year's, only one team can win the state championship. You guys got all the way down, essentially the runner-up to a tough loss, 5-4 to Grass Lake down in East Lansing. But I imagine from season to season, the goal still stays the same for you and your girls. But what kind of has been the mindset like, especially for this 2026 season, as we approach the playoffs coming up here in a couple of days? What has that mindset been like?
I mean, the mindset is we knew this year was going to be a different type of challenge. Obviously, every year you have the challenge of being the best that you can be and making it back to MSU. That's always our goal. We knew that there was going to be a lot of shoes that we had to fill, a lot of holes. And we have girls that have proven that they deserve those opportunities. And we knew there was going to be some growing pains, but we're working through them. And as long as making mistakes, rather that be in the field or at bats or losing a game, it's not a hindrance as long as we're learning from it. And, I think that, we had a tough tournament this weekend against Traverse City St. Francis, Traverse City Central. We learned so many things and we took a lot of steps moving forward, and we've got a few more games to build up that confidence and that continuity and that team chemistry that I see growing on this team. And I think the sky's the limit. We play in a district in a couple weeks in Gladwin with Cadillac, Gladwin, and Ogemaw. We split with Ogemaw earlier this year. In all the games but one that we've lost, we've out-hit every team that we've played against. We just make some mistakes and some mental errors, but those are getting far and few between now. Like I said, we've learned from it. The girls have bought into their roles, and it's going to be exciting towards the end of the year and going into the playoffs. We know what it takes. We've been there the last 2 years, and our goal is to get back there, and we're going to push to do that.
Yeah, and earlier in the show, you mentioned, especially last year, you lost a couple of seniors, and you lost Grass Lake last year. And this year, it's a new and younger and inexperienced team. From the start of the season to drafting your roster, I guess, essentially, I could say, what went into your mindset of how you assembled your team from where we are in day one and to where we are right now?
I mean, it's a process that we have. It's a process that we, we get 2 days to set our teams, and then we move forward with that. And, we rely heavily on the girls that have been there in the past. They know what it takes. They know the commitment. They know how we practice. They know how we hold each other accountable. And we use them, and we leverage our relationships with them so they can be the leaders on the team. It's one thing coming from a coach. It's another thing coming from the leaders on your team. And we empower girls on our team to be those leaders. And I'll make sure that we're doing things the right way. But a lot of times I don't need to, because the girls hold each other accountable.
Yeah, and one of those girls on your team, Kylie Wyman, a returning player for you guys. She's been outstanding in the regular season. What has her development been like the last couple of years repping the green and white?
Kylie came in as a freshman. She did great things for us and then had an injury, had surgery. And Kylie was able to have a teammate in the circle, Maddie Jones, that pushed her to do the right things and train the right way and battle in that circle and have that strength in the mind. And then she had great people as far as batting and hitting and leaders such as Tessa Kelly, Addie McMillan. And these girls just pushed, and they were so tight. I mean, they were just... like I said, I preach it over and over again, but it's a family atmosphere, and it's the belief in one another. And, that's the thing. Like, Clear softball isn't just this season. It's the seasons past where the seniors have led, and then they were juniors, and then they became seniors, and so on and so forth. And just the guidance that they have from great leaders in front of them that were here before and did it all before. And Kylie, Livy Forsberg, Mallory Louch, those seniors are doing the same thing that the seniors did last year, pushing each other, holding each other accountable, not pointing fingers. And, it's been huge. Kylie started out batting fourth in our lineup. She's up to leadoff. She's been absolutely amazing doing that in the circle. She's taken some lumps in some games just because defensively we maybe necessarily haven't made the plays we need to. But Kylie's doing the same thing that a Maddie Jones did with a young Lena Renner right now, and taking her under her wing and showing her what it takes. And we got another young girl in Madison Fritz who did it her freshman year with us. And it's that senior leadership and that buy-in to our program and our culture that makes things work. And it's the commitment that we have not only as the coaches, but as the kids and the parents and part of the community.
Hang tight. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
The best sports show in Central Michigan. The Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings and what it means to be a Chippewa. Bravery. To be brave and have courage is to recognize our moral and mental strength and to do what is appropriate. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. How fun has it been for you personally as the coach to watch your 1-2 punch with Kylie Wyman and Lena Renner in the circle this whole entire year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been pretty fortunate. You know, last year we had Madison and Maddie Jones and Kylie, and this year we've got, you know, Kylie and Lena and Madison Fritz is an unbelievable pitcher as well. She just pitched a heck of a game against Traverse City St. Francis. I believe they're the number 5th ranked team in D1. We lost in the last half of the inning. Madison couldn't pitch that last half inning. The mound was a little dicey, and she slipped in a warm-up pitch, and she probably could have kept going. She would have kept going if I allowed her to, but we put in another pitcher, and Madison just pitched an unbelievable game. And Lena's been that solid workhorse. I mean, she's had complete games of 26 pitches. You know, it's been a lot of fun seeing those two girls go out there with the confidence that they have.
And for you personally, what about your hitters? Has there been any like star hitters that you've seen progress throughout the season from day one to where we stand now?
Yeah, I mean, prime example is Lena Renner. I just spoke with her as far as what she's done in the circle, but she maybe wasn't hitting as solid as she wanted to at the beginning, but she's come on. She's got 5 home runs now. She's got 38 RBIs in 24 games. She's got her average up to .420 now, and she wasn't really seeing the ball as well as she wanted to. I've had the utmost faith in her. I know how confident I am in her, and I know her abilities, and she's doing a great job. Kylie's been smashing the ball this year. Like I said, she moved to leadoff. She's got 8 home runs right now, 30 RBIs, and then, you know, Breezy Yarger, she's a very, very solid hitter. She's got 30 RBIs for us, and then Pam Allen's hitting the ball really well. She's batting over .400 right now. As a team, you know, we're batting .377 as a team, which is a pretty solid average. We're getting better and better. The other day, we had a doubleheader against Ogallala. We had 29 hits in 2 games, and I mean, we've been out hitting everybody we play. We just need to get a little more solid on the defensive side of it.
And for hitting and pitching wise, it sounds like you guys are great there. The defensive wise is something that maybe needs some improvements on as we approach districts here coming up. For you as a coach, what goes into your mindset of crafting your starting 9 or drafting your 1-9 on each individual game day?
The way we coach and our philosophy is, you know, it's a long season. It's 38 games of the regular season. At about game 20, 22, 24, we know what we have and where we're at. And that's where we're going to really focus on now, is getting them more reps, as many as possible, so that they're ready when it matters most, which is the postseason. And I think that we're at that point now. We got some girls that come in and fill spots when we need it. We got some pinch hitters. We got some pinch runners. We got some defensive players that we put in. And we know what we have now. Now it's just fine tuning it and getting it ready for the postseason run that I know we're capable of having.
Yeah, and speaking of postseason run, it's coming up here in the next week or so, but the season's pretty much almost done. As we approach the end of the regular season, what have been some of the exciting non-conference or Jack Pine conference matchups that you and your girls have played in so far this season?
I mean, we had a doubleheader here in Clare against USA and Gaylord, you know, a state champion and a state runner-up, 2 perennial powerhouses every single year. To win that doubleheader against both those guys was awesome. Playing against Traverse City Central with the lineup that they have and the D1 commits there, and battling and having the lead for the whole game until the last half of the inning, sort of like the state finals. That was a lot of fun. You know, there was some plays and some defensive things that we did in that game that were absolutely amazing that we hadn't done all year, which was excellent to see. And you know, the Jack Pine Conference, you know, Ogama's got a great pitcher, a great hitting team. We lost the first game in, We had bases loaded in the last half of the inning for us. We ran into a fielder, which ended the game, and then we came out and just smashed the ball the next game. And just coming back from adversity, this team is really good at that. And now it's just getting to the point where we don't have the adversity, and we start from the beginning, and we just battle and play like I know we can.
Coach Kelly, it sounds like you guys are primed for another deep run in districts coming up here, trying to edge your name in Clair history again, get back down to East Lansing for a third straight year. And you guys are looking very good so far as we approach the end of the season. And Coach Kelly, we just wanted to thank you for coming on, talking about Clair softball and what the future looks like for Clair as well. So thanks so much for coming on our show today, Coach Kelly.
Thank you as well. I appreciate you guys and have a great day.
Yep, thanks, you too, well. Coach.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at Buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.